It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we speak with the youngest member of the Little Rock Nine, the group of students that desegregated Little Rock Central High School. She's speaking in Wausau tomorrow.
First, President Obama released his nearly $4 trillion budget today. It would create tax credits and initiatives for education, childcare, paid leave, and infrastructure, and would raise taxes on the wealthy by closing loopholes.
The budget is largely at odds with the priorities of the majority Republican Congress. One place they might find common ground is on ending the across-the-board spending cuts known as sequestration. Here with us to talk about the budget is Max Ehrenfreud. He's a reporter for the Wonk blog at the Washington Post. Max, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So it seems like there have been a lot of spoilers pretty much since the State of the Union, bits and pieces of the budget leaked out beforehand. Are there any surprises that came out today?
Well, I think the interesting news over the weekend was on the president's plan to tax the earnings of U.S. corporations overseas, which right now aren't taxed until the corporations bring them back to the United States. And as a result, that money has been accumulating abroad for many years now, and I think both parties are looking for a way to collect taxes on it. But it's a difficult issue.
It's a tough one to untangle. The Republicans in Congress have reacted negatively to a lot of what the president has had to say. How have we heard any specific reaction to that idea of trying to get taxes, as you say, on these American corporations holding money elsewhere?
Well, it's an idea that some Republican economists have supported in the past, but whether or not any Republican lawmakers in office right now will support the idea remains to be seen. But I do think that in general, yes, Republicans and Democrats want to find some way of taxing these overseas profits, which right now total somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion. It's a lot of money. And so I think there's a slight possibility that there might be a compromise of some kind on this issue.
Well, looking at the big picture of the budget, where do you see the president's priorities here on the spending side of things?
The priorities on the spending side are, I would say, first in investment in infrastructure, roads, bridges, railways, and the like. That is how he proposes to use the money raised from the tax on overseas corporate profits. And the other major priority, I would say, is in education. And the president's talked about that at length, of course. He wants to make community college basically free for anyone who's qualified and interested in going, more or less. He also is hoping to help provide access to preschool for more families.
And on the revenue side, we've mentioned the overseas corporate holdings, trying to tax that. What other kind of changes do we see on the tax side of things?
Yeah, so this is very interesting. I think the one point to note is perhaps the 0.07 of a percentage point fee on liabilities held by large banks. And this is essentially a tax that would be paid by the largest banks in the country and their investors, and it penalizes banks for being big, which is of course a controversial idea, but it would raise a lot of money.
Well, the idea there being that these are the so-called too big to fail banks, knowing that if they fail, the U.S. government's going to bail them out if need be. That's the philosophy here that, okay,
yeah,
if you're going to do that, you got to pay an insurance policy in effect.
Exactly. It's like an insurance policy.
So we mentioned the overseas corporate tax. You said you saw some slight chance that the president and Congress could agree on something like that. And you also mentioned that infrastructure, people like to be able to point toward investments in roads and things like that. It's definitely a constituent service. Do you see room for compromise between a Democratic president and the Republican Congress when it comes to transportation infrastructure?
It's certainly been talked about. In fact, the President Obama himself noted when he gave an interview on NBC before the Super Bowl yesterday that many Republicans are interested in investing and repairing bridges, roads, highways, and so on. As for whether or not a compromise will occur, I just can't speculate. It's too difficult to predict. Congress right now is divided on all kinds of issues, and it's easy to see, even if there is goodwill on both sides and interest in solving these problems, it's easy to see politics on other issues getting in the way.
And with this infrastructure, is the question not so much what they want to do, they want to fix roads and things like that, but how they're going to pay for it?
Yes, I think those are both questions.
Oh, okay.
I think those are both questions. I think some Republicans and perhaps some Democrats as well feel that the Highway Trust Fund, which is the main vehicle for funding transportation at the federal level, they feel that some of that money is wasted and it's used for unnecessary projects or things that don't really help with transportation. So I think that's an issue. And then, yes, there's also the issue of how it's funded. Is there going to be an increase in the gas tax, or is there going to be some kind of tax on overseas profits, as we've discussed? I'm not sure.
One other issue that comes up in this budget that Congress will have to deal with is the idea of ending the across-the-board cuts that were part of that sequestration deal. Can you tell us where we are on that and what's being proposed in this budget?
Yeah, well, this is a complicated history because a couple of years ago, Democrats and Republicans agreed to bind themselves to this law called sequestration, and the idea was that it was going to be so unpleasant for everybody involved that they would force themselves by agreeing to it to find another compromise. And that didn't happen, and so sequestration went into effect, and the federal budget for all agencies was dramatically reduced. And the way it was supposed to work was that it would reduce the budget for both the Pentagon and the non-defense federal agencies, and Republicans would defend the defense spending, and Democrats would defend the non-defense spending, and it didn't happen, and spending for everyone was reduced. Now it does look like some Republicans are again interested in increasing the budget at the Pentagon, and if that's their goal, then they're going to have to find some kind of compromise with the president and with Democrats, because I doubt that the Democrats are going to be interested in raising the budget only for the Pentagon beyond the level of sequestration without increases in other parts of the budget as well.
Well, let's look at this budget as a political document now, not so much as a budget document. Most of it, the Republicans aren't going to pass. They might take little bits and pieces. That said, what is the president hoping to accomplish with this budget?
It's interesting. It is a very progressive budget. Well, perhaps not very progressive in the grand scheme of things, but it is more progressive than the president has been in the past. For example, we mentioned the tax on large banks. It's true that, a couple of years ago, there was an amendment in Congress that would have forced the largest banks to split up, and Democrats and the president rejected that idea at the time. Now the president is talking about imposing a tax on large banks, so that's a shift. And there's also a shift in terms of Social Security. The Obama administration had previously suggested using a different method of calculating Social Security benefits that would have been less generous to senior citizens, and that proposal has also been abandoned in this document. So, yes, it is a move to the left. It's an embrace of a more populist tone, I think, an embrace of the idea that, as Obama said during the State of the Union, the economy needs to benefit everybody, and the federal government needs to make sure that the economy is benefiting everybody. Whether or not voters will be persuaded by these ideas, I think, remains to be seen.
Max, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
That's Max Ehrenfreund. He's a reporter for the Wonk blog at The Washington Post.